they're not mutually exclusive. One approach is to suggest that it's not a din of the mezuzah per se, but that this highlights a very critical aspect of Hanukkah, and that is that Hanukkah really celebrates Shmiras HaMitzvos in general. And we've spoken about this in other other opportunities as well. More so, in many respects, than almost any other holiday. Because, as the Farshim explain, the Labush and the, you know, Marshal and Bach quotes them. Obviously, Hanukkah was a struggle not just for physical survival. It was once the battle was joined, but the agenda in going to war and the dangers were spiritual extinction. And part of that was an attack in terms of actual specific Xeros, but the deep understanding, maybe after, you know, some time of actually experiencing it, or maybe just the insight of the great people who led the battle, that when you deprive Klal Yisrael of its opportunity, of a concrete, you know, executing of Avodas Hashem, Limud HaTorah and Shmiras HaMitzvos, Lashkicham Torah Secha L'Avirim Michuke Ritzonecha, again, the past also spoken, Lashkicham has a very powerful connotation. I always like to quote the Mishnah in Avos, that a Shocheach, you know, Midivrei Torah is Miskaya B'Nafsho, seemingly a very severe statement. But and lahavira michuke ritzonecha, describing mitzvos, and you know, and not performing them b'shev al tase, as being lahavira, like forcing you to violate them, and describing them as chuke ritzonecha, batel ritzoncha ritzono, and the whole attitude of chukim doesn't mean only chukim, meaning there is a deep understanding, you know, based on experience or based on wisdom, or both, a keen understanding that when you deprive Klal Yisrael of its ability to express its special bond with the Rabbonu Sholem, Ratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakeh Yisrael Lefikachir B'lehem Torah Mitzvos, that you really, that's the way to destroy it. It becomes atrophied. You know, the it becomes, you know, a kind of empty nostalgia of, you know, oh, we used to do this, we used to be able to do that. And even though you have the seemingly narrower excuse of Pikuach Nefesh, that's what Shas HaShmad really is all about. Shas HaShmad is a recognition that the lifeblood of Klal Yisrael is really the ability to follow the Rabbonu Shalom's directive to cultivate the Kesher that he, you know, that he is allowed. That's the lifeblood of mankind, but especially of Klal Yisrael. So in that respect, the danger was worth fighting for, and the struggle itself was a struggle for Kiyum HaMitzvos and Limud HaTorah in the bigger sense. I always try to explain, you know, why I don't like to be mevatel regularly. I give shiurim sometimes, and you know, I give to Balabatim in the city, different places. And, you know, every time there's like a holiday, people want to hear about the holiday, understandably. but when it comes to Hanukkah in particular, I don't like to, you know, be mevatel, the regular shiur, you know, for Inyanei Hanukkah. I always like to say something in the end about Inyanei Hanukkah, or I have a special shiur about Inyanei Hanukkah. And I know Rav Schechter always hangs up this, you know, notice on the, I didn't see this here, you know, for the Chevre Yakolel, that the Rav is very makpid about in the Meiri, about, you know, not finishing the Starim early, you know, to light Neiros Hanukkah. So I think it's not just a question of, you know, of the typical triage, halachic triage, of, you know, this mitzvah's urgency and that mitzvah's and so on and so forth. But in addition to that, there should be a recognition that, you know, Tmidim Kisidrum, that the regular Sedarim and that the, you know, performance of regular mitzvahs is really what the struggle was all about. And again, this is expressed in so many different ways in the comments of insightful Mefarshim who noted things like again, I mentioned the other night, where do you have a, you know, a mitzvah that is based on you know, the salvation of a mitzvah, or where do you have halal and shevach v'hodah because of the ability, a nes that occurred to do a mitzvah properly, and so on and so forth, and the tumahot trepetzibur question, and so on. So I think that Hanukkah is about spiritual excellence and maximalism. I certainly believe that. Part of that is the concrete way that that is expressed in Limud HaTorah, and appreciating Limud HaTorah, and appreciating the capacity of Shmiras HaMitzvos. I think that's why Hanukkah is such an enduring chag, and that's why, you know, the Shemen is Muktzah. Again, other topics that we've explored in the past. From that point of view, that's what I meant about you know, the sign on the Beis Medrash and keeping the regular shiurim. So, like, the greatest tribute to Hanukkah is, you know, if you're makbid, you know, in your regular limud, and you appreciate it more. And that's partly, I think, what, you know, the phrase chaviva, which is used, again, by the Rambam in Perek Daled Daf Yud Beis, and used by the Bali Tosis in Sukkah, and others, this idea that Ner Hanukkah has a certain chavivus, which is true, I mean, it's just true, you know, they published, you know, the Rav's writings, you know, and some of the lectures that he gave, the Torah Harav Foundation. So in one of the ones that he has on Hanukkah, he talks about, I think, the time when he was in Berlin and walking around, and, you know, the mazel that Hanukkah had, that, you know, even people who aren't very, you know, observant are drawn to Hanukkah. And I think part of what they're drawn to is that, you know, it wasn't just a miracle. Somebody wrote a piece in the New York Times the other day, which is, you know, both, you know, very point. Somebody told me that, yeah, they write that every year, or it's been written for the last 15 years in different ways. But either way, it's a very fascinating, you know, perspective. Disturbing, but fascinating. He wrote about, you know, the fact that he found himself in a quandary because, the way he put it, he's like an assimilated Jew. And, you know, what? Yeah, he wanted to, you know, explain to his daughter or something, you know, why it is that they're, you know, having this holiday and not some other holiday. So then he started looking into the holiday, and he realized that, you know, that he was probably, that, you know, he identifies with the Hellenists, and, you know, more than with the Hashmonaim. And then at the end of the piece, he says, but, you know, we still have to defeat Santa, and our team has to win. So he's, you know, trying to, you know, swallow his quandary and be encouraging to his daughter. And, of course, it's the quandary of not just American Jews, of assimilated Jews. But for some reason, it's a fascinating thing. And Rav writes about that, in just as a, like an agav comment, that Hanukkah has, you know, really penetrated the consciousness of the entire Jewish nation, even though, and that's what's so interesting about the piece, whoever originally wrote it, even though it doesn't make any sense, it's kind of absurd, because it's all about principle and not, you know, bowing to the prevailing culture. Again, we all think that these are new phenomena that have never been encountered before. It's dangerous to think that way, because it's inaccurate and it's self-defeating and it's just wrong. But this was the struggle, and yet, even assimilated Jews identify with Hanukkah. I think, you know, partially it's true out of ignorance and out of some sort of competitive or traditional or nostalgic sense. But I think, you know, there's an amech ami that kind of leads you to a lekoy chalokoy, and Hanukkah is very special in that way. So the chaviva hi ad ma'od has to do with the fact not only, you know, that there was this miracle, but, you know, it doesn't seem to warrant the level or a penner. Said a few words in the Beis Medrash the other day about it, but I think it's much more than that. I think it's because Hanukkah belongs to Chavivos HaMitzvos in general. And from that point of view, a perspective is that we light the Ner Hanukkah across from the mezuzah. And some of the Rishonim explain, the Ritva, the Meiri, the Shiltos have this even much earlier, quote the Medrash, they should be like surrounded by mitzvos on Hanukkah. So you have the mezuzah and the Hanukkah, and maybe the balabayas should be wearing, you know, a talis. Some versions have tefillin. The Netziv speaks about, well, yes tefillin or no tefillin, different, you know, versions. So from one point of view, the whole Gemara is about, you know, taking the opportunity to appreciate, you know, the regular Talmud Torah and the regular mitzvahs that we have, which were almost, you know, taken away from us, and that would have kind of sucked out, or that would have cut us off from our, you know, life force of what makes life meaningful to us, and developing that bond and kesher, and letting it lead our lives and infuse meaning into it. And that's really part of the story of mezuzah, and therefore the tzitzis and the tefillin and other things are part of that as well. And if that's the case, then per se, there's no... The question of the right side, the left side, you know, mezuzah is just a hechetimtzi, basically, for other things. As Shiltos explains that the argument, you know, in the Gemara is really like, do you want to double up, you know, mezuzah ner Chanukah, like on one side, or do you want to, like, you know, spread the wealth, you know, balance it out, be surrounded on the other? That could be, you know, just an interesting, tactical, strategic, I'm not sure which, both, you know, question, you know, about how you, I guess, intensify your kesher to this magnificent legacy of having, like, a structure to connect with the Rabbanu Shalom. So do you do that by, you know, being more intense and focused, or do you do it by being more... Again, he doesn't express all this, but obviously that's what's partially what's going on. And then Tziv makes the ha'ara there. Other Hornet picked up on this as well, that if there's no mezuzah, you could do whatever you want, frankly. However, most of the Rishonim would talk about it. Certainly the Chachmei Ashkenaz were of the opinion that you really, when there's no mezuzah, you light on the right. And that also is very interesting. There seem to be two formulations of that. One is, you know, kol yamin, you know, kol shatapona tapona yamin, when it comes to mitzvot in general. That's one issue. So the right is always the right one default, all things being equal. That's a technicality. But I always wondered whether there isn't some idea that if there's no mezuzah, so the Ner Chanukah, you know, is kind of serves the function of the mezuzah, you know, in some respect. Or to put it in another way, the second possibility, and that is that the connection to mezuzah, these are not mutually exclusive. In addition to, you know, the question of regular mitzvos and its connection, is something very specific about mezuzah. And that in a few senses. And again, they overlap. One is that mezuzah is about chavivus ha-mitzvah and tedirus and the sense of hashgacha. Every time you walk in and out of your home, you know, you encounter this mezuzah. You know, it reflects something about the, you know, pervasiveness of hashgacha and about our connection, you know, to Avodas Hashem, certainly. And moreover, the mezuzah contains the parshios of Shema and V'hoyim Shemoa, and that's Kabbalos al-Machos Shemayim and Kabbalos al-Mitzvos, but it does in a more integrated fashion than in the parshios in the Torah itself. This is a Dvar Torah, actually, that Itamar and I worked on when he was, you know, much younger. That, you know, the parshios, stumos and psuchos in Shema and V'hoyim Shemoa, that part of it doesn't appear in the mezuzah. I always thought that the mezuzah, in a way, integrates these two aspects, because Kabbalos al-Machos Shemayim, Kabbalos al-Mitzvos, obviously are connected, but they also are different. One is about the commitment and is more philosophical. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Achad has a theological component and the impact of that. And then there's Kabbalos al-Mitzvos. You know, that's very practical and very, you know, accessible. You don't have to be a philosopher or, you know, even a little bit of a philosopher or a theologian for that. And, you know, you can do that, you know, but it also requires a lot of effort, a lot of involvement. But in the mezuzah, which is on the bias and which reflects, you know, the mezuzah is connected to the theme of the tzitz, you know, as well, in some respects, like the tefillin. It's, you know, something that's there all the time and that you have to think about. It's the integration of the two. And Ner Chanukah is very much about an affirmation of hashgacha and the theological aspects of things. And again, how Shmiras HaMitzvos integrates with that. So there's a special, I think, link between mezuzah and Ner Chanukah. But I think, even beyond that, based on what I was saying the other night, that the overlap, these overlapping ideas, you know, are really one, and they find their expression in the idea that both of these connect or promote the centrality of the bias. The mezuzah, of course, is a debate in the Gemara, not for now, for the details, but, you know, Chofetz Hador, Chofetz HaBayis, but on any level, you know, the mezuzah defines what a Jewish home is supposed to be. So in a way, another way to look at the whole discussion is that mezuzah isn't just, you have to be madlik, you know, babayis, or pesach atzamuch labayis, and the mezuzah's there, so it's an example, maybe even an excellent example, an intense example of ribui or shmiras, other mitzvos, but that both the mezuzah and Ner Chanukah represent a perspective on the role that bayis and mishpacha, you know, play in the bigger configuration of Klal Yisrael. And I think that the Manig, who has a very famous comment, but I don't know how people took it, really reflects this. And even if you don't hold like the Manig L'maisa, still think it's true. Sefer Manig says that you put the Ner Chanukah on the right side of the bayis, when there is no mezuzah, on the one hand, the Chiyakar Inishkar, one second, the Ner Chanukah Mismal, the Nichnas Bein Shtei HaMitzvos, clearly, Lamadnu Mizeh, Shem Ein Sham Mezuzah Miyamin, Roi Laniach Ner Chanukah Miyamin, Chen Kasav Gaon. But then he adds an amazing thing, the Yirali De'ein Chiyuva Bebeis HaKnesses, Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah, Ki'im Babayis Sh'adam Darbo, Midomrinan Kedei Shetei Mezuzah Miyamin, Biner Chanukah Mismal. Ubeis HaKnesses Potter Mimezuzah, Kedomrin Per Kamadiyoma. Elim Kenesham Bezdira Ladur Beveis HaKnesses, Elenogo Akach, Shazah Nes Bab Mikdash, Bosom Kamokim Bemikdash Ma'at, the Gola Lafar Semanes, Shekulam Miskab Simsha. That's a very remarkable Sefer Amad, on two levels. Number one, again, I alluded to this the other night, this is a topic in its own right. There's a huge discussion about Chanukah, Ner Chanukah, Beveis HaKnesses. Everybody wants to go. Should feel free. I'm just going to take another couple of minutes. Then we'll have mincha. There's a huge debate about it. And there were those who were really enthusiastic about it. And there were those who were really adamantly opposed to it. The adamantly opposed group, partially because of Bracha Levatala, clearly. But I sense at least that there's something like a little bit more to it. But either way, what they note is that it doesn't appear in the Gemara, you know, or any earlier Makoros. Like, why not? Why wouldn't you do it? After all, it is Makom Pirsum Anes. The enthusiasts say, well, I mean, this is the best place ever to do it. The end of the Manig speaks about the being the place, right? Lefar Semes Anes, Shekula Miskabsim Shab. There's no mitzvah like Ner Chanukah that is so focused on the impact, on the effect of Pirsum Nisa. Right, the Abdal Kosas, Megillah, they vie for it. But again, that's another topic. But the impact of Pirsum Nisa in terms of the substance and the dinim, Ner Chanukah is just overwhelming. So why isn't there earlier Makoros to put Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses? Again, the Rav Asher has a tshuva in which he suggests that, you know, it's a question of bracha l'minag, the bracha question, and therefore should depend whether or not, you know, you make a bracha on Halal Rosh Chodesh. That's the Chacham Tzvi's famous critique. He says the Beis Yosef, you know, doesn't make a bracha on Halal Rosh Chodesh, or he should in the paskin that you make, you know, a bracha on Ner Chanukah of the Beis HaKnesses. Even those who think there is Beis HaKnesses, so the tour, the one day in the Beis Yosef, it's a Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim explain that it's like Kiddush, because, you know, if there are Orchim in the Beis HaKnesses, so that becomes their bias. So Hu Adin Legabi Ner Chanukah. Others emphasize the Pirsume Nisa aspect. It would be a great example. It goes on that list where the impact affects even the substance. And then there's a third group, like this Manig, which suggests that it's a whole different mechayev. It's really zecher lemikdash. In which case there might be two dinim, and then you have to investigate the details of these dinim. It's also true if the mechayev is pure piersim without substance, but even more so. Namely, there's a lot of discussion. Do you need a menorah for Neros Chanukah? Do you dafka need a menorah in the Beis HaKnesses because it's more patterned after the menorah of a mikdash? And is that why there's so much discussion about, you know, the direction, you know, the Dorum or the other way? Like, where did all this come from? Is there a difference in terms of who can light it? Kereshot of a katan? Because in the mikdash, really, the lighting wasn't the avoda. Maybe hanachos a mitzvah for the Beis HaKnesses, like in the mikdash, and hadlakos a mitzvah at home. And what happens, you know, for the person, you know, the chazan or whatever, who has to make that shechiyanu the first night in the shul? Does he really make a second shechiyanu? And bracha in general? How do we manage the hadlaka bracha, the ri'iyah bracha, and the shechiyanu bracha, you know, from that point of view? So, again, all these interesting questions are could be played out on a, you know, the ikar din, the secondary, the minag din, kavana la latzei. There are many, many things to say. But part of the question is it a different mechayiv, even if it is, and if it's a different mechayiv, you know, maybe that justifies a lot of these differences. But why shouldn't there be, you know, an ikar or equal mitzvah in the Beis HaKnesses, separate from menorah, or separate from pirsum anes, etc.? And even if you hold with the mikdash and the pirsum anes and everything, that it still doesn't justify a bracha, why should that be? But the manik says something amazing. It's a double chiddush. But the double chiddush is a single chiddush. Namely, that where there's no mezuzah, right, there is no ner chanukah, and there's no mezuzah in the Beis HaKnesses. So I don't think he means it technically. Somehow mezuzah is a prerequisite for Neros Chanukah, the Haraya. He talks about a case where there's no mezuzah, and you put the Ner Chanukah, mimin habayis. So obviously it doesn't mean that there's a Gzeres HaKasim based on the Gemara, I am being facetious, that says that, you know, no mezuzah, no Ner Chanukah. He obviously thinks that mokom she'ena roi, or ena mechuyav b'mezuzah, right, is mufka from the din per se of Ner Chanukah, if not for this other mechayev of mikdash. And the question is why. But I think that the common denominator precisely is the point that Chanukah revolves around Ner Ish Besa. And there are this is another expression of that. Rabbeinu Yerucham also noted a lot by the Achronim, because it's a very interesting shita. But Rabbeinu Yerucham was of the opinion that when they used to light outside, that you should light outside on the Pesach that connects the house to the Chatzer, rather than the Chatzer to the Rishus HaRab. He says the reason for that is, even though both are Mechuyah ben Mezuzah, he said the practice often was, I guess in Provence or whatever, not to have a mezuzah on that outside door, because it was always getting vandalized. So, since they didn't used to put a mezuzah there, he says, it's better to put the Ner Chanukah, you know, on the more inner rather than the outer door. So one day he says, well, because you don't want it to get vandalized. But it's perfectly clear that what he really means is that befoal, where the menorah, where the mezuzah is a din in the Ner Chanukah itself. And I would add, not only to pair it with the, you know, you have both sides covered, as it were, and that kiyum, but even more so, for the same reason that it's justified if the mezuzah is going to be vandalized all the time, you know, not because that isn't really your Pesach HaBayis anymore. This is my suggestion. It's a, you know, if people aren't respecting the boundary of Rishus HaRabim and the Chatzer, then, you know, it loses kind of its luster, maybe, de facto, as a mokum kinisa labayas, you know. And as such, for the very same reason, that's not a place for the Ner Chanukah. So what emerges in these different presentations is that the combination of mezuzah mimino and Ner Chanukah mismolo, in addition to, or instead of, being just a din in chivuv amitzvos, is particularly a din in Neros Chanukah and in the idea of the centrality of the bias. And for that reason, again, I alluded to it, but there's a lot of discussion about the status not only of Isha, but of Katan in Hadlakas Ner, you know, for the bias. And there are those who take very kula positions, very chumra positions, each of which is not coordinated with the regular status of Katan in Chinuch, in mitzvos. Sometimes the kula and sometimes the chumra. And I think the reason for that, some of them compare it to the menorah and the mikdash, but I think the reason for that, again, is that you can make the case that on the one hand, Katanim are part of Bnei Abayis, and they certainly are part of the fabric of the family. And at the same time, they're not necessarily the best representatives, right, of the family in terms of representing everyone. That constitutes kulas and chumras. And similarly, what happens when you have two families living in the same house? You know, that too, there's like a major debate among the Rishonim and then later in the Achronim. That seems to revolve, again, on whether or not the framework of a single home is more of a mitzaref to be motzi acher midei chavasan, or whether or not there's more like an organic idea, you know, of a certain unity from which the rest of the diversity flows, but necessarily it stems out of that and is enhanced by it, and then enhances it in turn, and therefore, like the units that constitute a unit for Nerishu Beso are going to be defined in a very specific, you know, kind of way. So it's late, and we'll stop. Of course, there's much more to talk about, but so this idea of Ner Chanukah Mismol V'Nichnas Ben Shtei HaMitzvos also may explain why when there is no mezuzah, you put the Ner Chanukah on Dafka on the side of the Amid. Not just because, if that's true, not just because of, you know, Kol Pnia should be Liamin and you don't have the benefit here of balancing out or some sort of Chavilos problem, but on the contrary, in some respect, the Ner Chanukah itself is a kind of a mezuzah during the period of Chanukah, in some respects, obviously. I don't want to get, you know, too carried away with the idea. I'm not saying they should be kissing the Neros or things of that sort. But the idea behind it, at least, is something which justifies kind of like a substitution, you know, for the mezuzah in that respect. And that, going back to the original Machlokas, that was the question. If you want to integrate Ner Chanukah and mezuzah, do you do that best by having them, you know, both frame your doorposts, or by the more intense expression, you know, of integrating them, you know, on the same side? So as we Sunday we don't meet, right? Monday we meet. That's the last day of Chanukah. So we can sing on Chanukah. We can sing on the last day. We have to sing, right? Is that the tradition?
Had a Suda.
What?
Or it's just because we have to sing?
I think we should limit it to Vizos Chanukah. But one song. I think we always had one song in the Mesiba and Chanukah.
Yeah, we can introduce
Rikos. We're not going to introduce it. If we never had it, then I'll go with your recollection. We need that.